Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'ma love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'ma love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. 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 Hey ho, hey ho, hey ho, hey ho, hey ho. Baby, I'm in love with you. Hey ho.
Yeah, when I first saw you eating those dots in that maze, I knew you were no ordinary yellow circle.
Baby, I'm in love with you.
Mean, colorful ghosts will try to stop you, but you just keep on eating those dots, because you will always be Miss Pac-Man, and that is why I love you.
I love you. I love that. I love that song.
Yay, you almost got to end the show again today. Okay.
Don't end the show.
I'm just coming out of sickness. I'm a little loopier than normal. Put it that way.
I was about to say.
I'm less evil genius today and more, you know, Pinky from Pinky and the Brain.
Today, right?
Yeah.
Well, we do every day.
Tried to take over the world. So I'm the sidekick today. Welcome to the Ginger and Corey. I'm Corey.
And I am Ginger.
Who are you again?
I think maybe I might be Ginger.
Yay! Start your day with applause every day.
What are you talking about? I'm going to have, you know, my favorite floor star applause. Like, Ginger's awake. Yay!
I think they should make alarm clocks to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an alarm, it's applause. I'm telling you, I get up for that. I get up for applause.
You know somebody out there already has that.
Yes. They better get on it quick because I know how to do a patent. Quickly, virtually, like in the next 10 minutes. Get on it, people. We would like to say we're sorry for yesterday. However, again, was not our fault. Just energy, you are no longer my friends either. You are on the same list as Comcast. When I see you, I'm going to cut you. Anyway.
She's got to run out of space in her backyard to bury people.
You like to know the behind-the-scenes story. Feel free to message me. I will tell you, and I will tell you why you should not go with Just Energy. And they had such promise. Anyway.
They always start out that way.
They do. They start out well, and then they just, words I can't use during daytime podcasting. Anyway.
Tune in for Thursday.
Thursday night, yeah. So, Ginger, is there anything interesting going on in the world of news?
Maybe. Okay. So, Dead Meat's Lead pre-purchase, publishers and gameplay trailer. Keldon Interactive announces Dead Meat's Lead. It's going to be available on 3 major digital distribution services, open for pre-purchase and releases new game. Sorry, it's open for pre-purchase, and they've also released a new game trailer. Let me get you that. Independent developer Keldon Interactive. They released that today. That's what they're telling me again and again. That's like 3 times just now. The 3 digital distribution platforms in question that they're going to be releasing this on are Impulse, Desura, and Gamer's Gate. Impulse is a state-of-the-art digital distribution platform that allows users to quickly and easily find their favorite games or software and download it automatically to their PC. Desura is a community-driven digital distribution service for gamers, putting the best games, mods, and downloadable content from developers at gamers' fingertips, ready to buy and play. And then Gamer's Gate sells games for over 250 publishers and developers, including Electronic Arts, THQ, Atari, Bethesda Softworks, 2K Games, Ubisoft, Sega, Capcom, Paradox Interactive, and Epic Games, but also smaller independent video game development developers, such as 2D Boy, Jonathan Blow, and, I'm going to kill this in my name, Amanita Design. Sorry if I said it wrong. I apologize. All right, so at the time of writing, pre-purchasing is only available at Desura. All right, so great, they're telling us who we can get it from, but what is this game about? Dead Meat's Lead is a challenging zombie slaying action game. Ooh, I love me some zombie slaying. Oh.
Yes.
Set to be released in the second quarter of 2011 for the PC. The game is centered around an 18th century character known as the Captain, who is on a mission to obliterate evil from a zombie-infested island in the Caribbean. So that sounds pretty cool. I will put up the gameplay trailer on our website, which is GameAndAtrix.com, in a little bit. So you can check over there. It doesn't look like they're actually going to give me much more about the game, but they sure did tell me where you can get it from. So again, Impulse, Desura, and Gamer's Gate, and the name of the game is Dead Meets Lead. So we can get our zombie killing on.
Amen. Well, in case you are always listening to Gamer Girls Radio, Lunch with Corey and Ginger, in case you're always on GameAndAtrix.com, well, we try to give you a ton of news, but we can't cover everything. So that means that you missed a young, very handsome, actually, clinical psychologist by the name of Jerry Weichman, who made some comments in a Fox News article about a game that was released just yesterday, Bulletstorm. And he said, if a younger kid experiences Bulletstorm's explicit language and violence, the damage could be significant. Violent video games like Bulletstorm have the potential to send the message that violence and insults with sexual innuendos are the way to handle disputes and problems. Well, he's saying that because of this, greater regulation on video games is necessary. And he cites his own experience with teenagers as psychologists, but didn't provide any research data to back up his claims.
No research data? You mean they can't just, like, talk out of their butt and, you know, say it's the truth?
Mm-hmm. Well, despite sticking to what he those comments that he made, he is saying that he sees no problem with mature content being enjoyed by the audience it's intended for. Thank you, Mr. Weichman. We appreciate you adding that. Yeah, he also says he enjoys playing games such as Halo and Call of Duty, and he does admit that his comments on Bulletstorm were based on several videos he watched online. He has not yet played the demo. He's quoted as saying, as an adult, I enjoy playing first-person shooter games like Halo and Call of Duty and do so in my spare time, but I certainly would not want my child exposed to these games either. Mature content should be reserved for mature or adult users. This article is coming from our friends over at GamePolitics.com, and they're saying the most interesting quote from him is about the lack of parental responsibility and his disappointment that the article didn't offer some resources for parents to check out. And he's saying, my work with teens leads me to put the bulk of the responsibility on the parent. Let me repeat that. The bulk of the responsibility is on the parent. I wish that the article had given parents more information or tips on ways they can monitor their child's gaming activities to ensure that they are playing games which contain content appropriate for the individual child's maturity level.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy being a parent today, but when many children are much more technologically advanced than their parents, but ultimately the parents cannot rely on the system for their child's safety. They have to educate themselves and stay involved in content entering their home and work a little harder to make sure that they are aware of what their kid is doing. And for that, Mr. Weichman, we give you some more of this. That's awesome. That is awesome.
That is. I'm glad to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more parents should realize that, you know, the TV, the radio, the computer, the Xbox, iPhone, all that fun stuff, it's not a babysitter.
Mm-mm.
It's not a substitute for parental supervision.
Robot babysitters are at least 15 years off. Come on. So
if you have the kid... Oh, no, all right, never mind. Not even going to start down that road. Bad parents is all I'm going to put.
Save it for Thursday night. So we'll probably be talking about this one Thursday night, but it's news, so we got to move on.
All right, so if we weren't already worried about what our kids are playing nowadays, this one isn't so much for kids, but still kind of weirds me out. An iPhone app for training Patriot missile crews.
Really?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it's out there now. This is from GamePolitics.com. The U.S. Army has enlisted developer C-Squared to develop 7 iPhone apps that teach Patriot missile crews how to launch missiles at targets. This is coming from the Escapist. The developer has completed the first app, and it delivered it to the Army, and they're already working on the second. The first app teaches launch station march orders and placement. This is using a combination of video from real launch crews in action, illustrations, and other visual aids. This app is meant to be used in a classroom with an instructor, according to the report. But, of course, you know, somebody's going to get their hands on it that don't need this. So what all do we have here? Of course, these apps are not for public consumption, which, you know, I'm going to give that all of about 30 seconds before somebody leaks that. Future apps from C-Squared for the Army will help train missile crews in specific areas. Of radar march order emplacement, engagement control station march order and emplacement, antenna mass group march order and emplacement, electrical power plant march order and emplacement, missile reload, and radar maintenance. Yeah, that sounds like fun. Well, I'm all for using more digital methods of teaching. I really worry about this. I'm not too much wanting this to fall into other people's hands, you know? I don't know.
It's not smart developing.
Especially on the iPhone. Sorry. It's just, no.
And iPhone, you know, do they have limits on the countries that this is in? Is it just U.S. or we don't know?
Oh, well, this is just made for the U.S. Army. So I'm assuming from what I've seen, personal experience, they're handing out these iPhones to students in classrooms, whatnot, and then they're supposed to hand them back in at the end of the courses. But that does not mean that certain information doesn't make its way out.
Well, we'll see. Well, I want some of you to sit down, take a deep breath. Don't freak out. Get your calendar on your iPhone ready or whatever phone you have. You might have what I have, LG Rumor Touch, Virgin Mobile, your Android. Get a pen out and start counting out those sick days because we know you're going to use them. I'm not even going to pretend like you're not. Gears of War 3 release date. Are you ready? Are you ready?
I am so ready.
What do you got? September 20th.
Ooh, that's not far.
Uh-huh. And this points to this being the last Gears of War 3. Thank you. Thank you, O Master Chief. There will be no more after this one. Gears of War 3 is going to be the glorious conclusion to one of the most memorable sagas in video game history. And this date, you don't want to miss it. The story is going to take place between 18 months. Takes place 18 months after the events of Gears of War 2 and the loss of the human stronghold in Jacinto. Marcus, Baird, Dom, and company continue their fight to save human civilization. I'll get on that word later. Ask me about this later, Ginger. As they battle the locusts and face the new threats from within the planet throughout the campaign mode, here is what you can, some of what you can expect from Gears of War 3. They're saying an enthralling cinematic story, which is to be expected, which will keep you captivated in intimately intense action game. Wow, you people with the PRs, really? A 5-on-5 multiplayer experience as well as 4-player campaign co-op experience. 5-on-5 is nice. New multiplayer game modes, including Beast Mode, offering a new twist to the game where you take on the role of the Locust Horde and their assorted variations. Now, that sounds interesting. New maps. Yeah, that's interesting to get to play as the other side. New maps, including Trenches, which features an impressive sandstorm that reduces your visibility, as well as Overpass, Mercy, Checkout, and Trash Ball. New weapons, including the Bayonet Charge, the Retro Lancer, the Sawed-Off Shotgun. Oh, okay, that's my favorite weapon in any game. The One-Shot, a heavy sniper rifle that shoots through shields or cover for a surprise one-shot kill. Delicious. The incendiary grenade, the digger launcher, and a few subtle tweaks to old favorites, hammer burst, and the classic lancer. Don't forget that each weapon now has its own execution move. They're saying stay tuned for more updates. You can stay tuned to us for more updates. Keep your eyes peeled as we get more news. And there will be a multiplayer public beta coming soon. Breathe. Stop hyperventilating.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
breathe.
But I gotta get my PvP on.
This may be one we all pop into since we all have a 360. So you may find some girls from Gamer Girls Radio playing. There'll be lots of giggling and hitting in the face. And I love
oh,
you.
Oh yeah, it's not the face I'm gonna be aiming
for.
below the belt, baby.
Keep them covered, guys. Keep them covered. So remember, September 20th. Gears of War 3. I'm not going to pick up the final game, I'll say, because I haven't played any of them. So I think it would be kind of, this far along would be late. I don't know. I might. If we get, you know, as we get into the multiplayer beta, it may be that I might like it. I might decide to go back and play. Also, if you're not already, you can keep up with the latest news from Xbox announcement. I can't talk today. Xbox announcements on Twitter at tweetbox360, and of course they have a blog on blogs.msdn.com/b/xbox360press. Yeah, right? I know. Okay. But anyway, very exciting news for you Gears of War fans out there. We're excited for you. We want to play too.
That does sound like fun.
I think we'll do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right. So, Vietnam. I don't know what the hell's wrong with you people, but holy cow, I would be revolting right about now. Revolting. Anyways. That's not the word I was looking for. Vietnam, no online gaming after 10 p.m.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. The Vietnamese government instituted an online curfew. It has ordered service providers and internet cafe owners to block online game access after 10 p.m. Yeah. I'm thinking it's time to overthrow your government.
Hey, you don't want to say that to Vietnamese people. They'll do it. They're not us. We threaten.
You take away my gaming, and it's on. The Vietnamese Ministry of Information and Communication has told all ISPs operating in the country to block access to online games after 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. The government has given ISPs and cafes a deadline of March 3rd for the ban to be implemented. Those
quickly! Oh my God!
I know, right?
Wow.
Those who do not comply can expect to face some serious fines or to actually be put out of business. Provincial departments of information and communication will inspect online game activities nationwide and deal with organizations that violate regulations by canceling their services. The new decree from the Vietnamese government is the latest in a series of measures to curb online game playing among children. Children, 10 p.m. to 8 a.m., and you're using this to curb children playing games.
Because children are supposed to be in... Yeah.
Face fell, totally. It seems that this new ban affects adults as well. The reports say it's a temporary measure. Why temporary? Because the government plans a full evaluation of how online games affect students. In other words, expect stricter regulations sometime down the line. The country has an estimated 23 million internet users who get most of their gaming done at internet cafes they get most of their gaming done at internet cafes specializing in online games. Vietnam, y'all are idiots.
My jaw has been just open since you started this story. I can't believe it.
I mean, they're doing it to curb children, but they're doing it from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m., which is when adults would usually be playing. And they're doing it at these cafes, which, again, I would assume adults would be playing at.
Wow.
I'm thinking y'all weren't thinking too much or something. Do y'all high, drunk, stupid?
All of the above.
All of the above.
Wow. I'm in total shock. I'm sorry, Vietnam.
Overthrow your government.
Well, our entire state is way, like, three times the size of your country. We got room. Come on over.
Bring it.
As we said, the back door is open and we got biscuits. Bring it.
Oh. That's too early in the morning for that, Corey.
Wow.
Well, I think it's your turn, Corey. For the record, it's just hers, not mine.
Oh, I'm just talking over here muted. Lovely. Okay. Allow me to clear my throat. After that, almost debacle. Shoot, Ginger, be quiet. Well, this comes from our friends, our new friends over at gamesindustry.biz. That's .biz. You should check them out if you're into the whole business side of gaming. I am. I love it. Zyniga settles the Mafia Wars dispute with digital chocolate. Social game titan, Zyniga. I love that they're calling them a titan. I love it, because they are. They've reached an out-of-court settlement with Trip Hawkins, Digital Chocolate, regarding a copyright dispute over the game Mafia Wars. Digital Chocolate sued Zyniga last August, claiming that the latter's 2008 Facebook game Mafia Wars infringed upon his 2004 mobile game of the same name. I thought it was the same company. See what you learn when you learn about business? Despite Digital Chocolate claiming to have a wholly owned trademark for the name, Zyniga sought to register Mafia Wars at the U.S. Patent Office. Oh, I told y'all there was fighting this year. Terms of settlement have not been revealed, according to the legal site, which is called The Recorder. And you can pop over and check that out, too, at law.com and a whole bunch of characters. I'm not going to tell you, but if you drop by Game Industry Biz, it'll tell you the link. You can click from there. In 2009, Zyniga made another settlement of undisclosed size regarding Mafia Wars, this time to Mob Wars creator David Maestri, who had alleged strong similarities between the two games, and there are. In addition, last year, Zyniga accused Disney firm Playdom of copyright infringement regarding Mafia Wars for its title Mobsters. This is so ugly. I love it. This is part of a wider case involving alleged theft of trade secrets by ex-Zyniga employees who had moved to Playdom. This, too, was settled out of court. I love it. This is so ugly. Ooh.
That does sound that way.
It is hideous and ugly. They are all the same game, people. It's not like at that time on Facebook you could do much different at that time. You know?
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I was muted coughing.
Yeah, back when those games were out on Facebook, they're pretty much all you could do is make those same games and try to tweak it here and there. Now, they could all probably come up with games that have the same name that would be so vastly different, you'd want to play all of them. So, but I haven't been back to play, personally.
Now they're just coming up with ones that have different names, but are all the same.
This is true.
Lovely.
This is probably going to get uglier. You can keep up with it again over at gamesindustrybiz.com. Tell them that we sent you. And if you don't want to keep up with it with them, you're welcome to listen to us, because you know I'm going to be watching. I love me a good game and scrap. They just need some oil thrown on them and some syrup. I'm good.
Oil and syrup.
Do it, boys. Just do it.
Oh, the mental images. No. Not enough brain bleach in the world.
Depends on. Never mind. We'll talk later. Anyway.
Oh, no.
One more, Jim, before you take a break. One more.
All right. Well, this is just going to be a short one. And pulling this from GamePolitics.com, Sony trying to build hack-proof PS3. Oh, yes. This is coming. They are citing this from a report on Everything HQ. Sony is working on a new SKU of the PS3 to deal with the leaked security key. Is currently suing George Hotz and the group Games is reporting that Sony is working on a new SKU of the PS3 to deal with the leaked security key. It is currently suing George Hotz and group Fell Overflow over. The hack-proof model, which I don't think is going to happen. Good luck. Y'all have already said it's hack-proof. Somebody is already out there working on the hack. Is already deep in development and is not susceptible to the security issues that current models are vulnerable to. Yeah, may not be susceptible to the current ones, but whatever ones y'all borked on this new one, yeah, somebody else is already trying to break them. Another rumor is that the company will lower the price of its current PS3 units to clear inventory. Older models will allegedly go for £170, francs, quids, starfish shells, I don't know.
rupees.
Which is going to come out to about $274 USD. The hack-proof model is said to be a slim PS3 boasting a 300-gigabyte hard drive. The report also claims it'll cost about $301 USD. All right. A release window for the system is unknown, and the system itself is not confirmed by Sony, but according to the report, it will be a slim PS3 with a 300-gigabyte hard drive, which we already read. So way to set yourself up for fail, Sony. Hello?
Oh, I'm just talking and muted. Lovely.
Did I lose Corey again?
No, I am here today. disease infested and all. I just want to let you guys know I'm becoming a zombie, but I will still fight on your side.
You better not bite me.
No, no biting. Unless it's Sony in this hack-proof PS3. That is the stupidest thing you can say. Let me remind Sony of this ship called the Titanic where they said it was unsinkable. I just want to...
Exactly. We called it first, just so you know. When it happens, we'll be like, remember when we said? Yeah.
Hack-proof, not possible. You make it harder to hack, and then the hackers get smarter.
But because you've already announced it as hack-proof, somebody out there is already looking for a way.
Oh, they are already in line. They are waiting to get their hands on one.
Somebody is already looking to find a way to get a leaked one, a developer one, something. You know they are.
Sorry, guys. So it is time for us to take a break, which means we're not going to be live anymore. And I know several of you are tweeting that you're listening. Sorry, this is where we go into our downloaded segments. You have to download to hear the rest. And in probably about 15 minutes, you'll be able to download and listen to us. And we do have some interesting stuff. We wish we could let you hear it live. Something about some vampires, mansions, battlefields, and...
Ooh, vampires?
And wolves, and Moshi monsters.
Ooh.
Maybe. Let's see if we have time for all that in 15 minutes. There's a lot of news every day. I love it.
There is so much.
So what song shall I play for them today, Ginger? What do you think they would like?
Oh.
Link, you say? No.
Oh. Link? Let's go with Link.
I don't even know where Link is today. I'm loopy. I'm actually loopy. Oh, there's Link. Link, I love you. I love you, Link. I love you, baby. Because it's hump day. Remember, you can find this news and several other news articles at our website, GamerGirlsRadio.com or GamerNatrix.com. Either one will take you where you need to go. And, of course, if you have news you'd like to announce, please send it to us at press@gamingnatrix.com before 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, or it won't get read on the air.
And it will make us want to cut you.
Yes. On occasion, we'll try to fit it in if we see it in the box.
Yay!
Yay! It's
Link. It's Corey's favorite guy.
Yes, I slept with Link last night. On my shirt, people.
Okay. Yeah.
Here we go with the warp thing again. What is that?
I don't know. I blame Crapcom.
Crapcast.
There we go.
Crapcast is morphing into infinity. We'll be talking about that Thursday night, too. We're back to first of the Wow, Link, this is a long song.
Serenading you.
Yeah, I had enough. Link, I love you. Anyway, back to some news. We are still live. Some of you are like, oh, they're still on. No, in a few minutes we're going to cut off. So go get your coffee, breathe, do some work like you're supposed to be doing while you're at work. And then in 15 minutes you can download it and do the rest. And we're on a tight schedule because Blog Talk does not play. They will cut us in the middle of the news story. They do not care. Anyway.
I know. How rude.
Yes, yes, yes. Is it my turn? It's my turn, isn't it?
I do believe it's your turn.
Well, to those of you who love simulators like I do, FishLab has announced an extensive add-on for this successful sci-fi sim Galaxy on Fire 2 on the iPhone and iPad for the end of April and will present it to the public for the first time at, yes, another gaming conference, GDC.
Another one?
Let's go. Yes.
Wow.
It's the same one. This company is based out of Hamburg, Germany. I'd love to tell you where they are. And they're going to present it to the expert audience at the Game Developer Conference. I like to call them experts. They say that Fish Labs grants the wishes of the fan community of the premium outer space adventure, which generally earns 4.5 to 5 stars and offers a thrilling new storyline, along with plenty of new spaceships, weapons, and equipment. Keith Maxwell, the hero of the first and second parts, must face a mysterious and cunning new enemy. For a long time, he had no clue who was really pulling the strings in this monstrous conspiracy, which threatens not only him, but his friends as well. You can have a first look at the developer diary on their website. The teaser video is also available on YouTube, which will be up on our site here in about 2 seconds. Probably by the time you hear this, 2 seconds will have long since passed. And we will also give you a link to the developer diary if you want to take a look at it. It looks pretty interesting. Doesn't sound much Sim-ish, though. Sounds more like an RPG. Anyway, back to you, Jen.
Back to me.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Present Creative and Nieto Fine Art Partner. I'm sorry. Present Creative and Nieto Fine Art Partner to present the Games We Play art show at GDC. I think this is going to be kind of cool. Present Creative, a leader in the casual and social game industry, along with Nieto Fine Art, a contemporary San Francisco art gallery, joined forces in reimagining the boundaries of fine art with the first annual Games We Play art show.
Yes, pretty.
Cool. Mm-hmm. The Games We Play will be open to the public at the Nieto Fine Art Gallery. This is at 565 Sutter Street. It's going to also be on March 23rd, 2011, of course, from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. All are welcome to attend. More information can be found at presentcreative.com/art show. The idea came from Simple Notion. These are in weird. The idea came from the simple notion that many creative individuals in the video game industry are also formally trained artists. The Game Developers Conference seemed like the perfect opportunity to launch the event and a way to offer something different to convention attendees other than the usual mixers and schmoozing sessions. Schmoozing. That's a fun word.
I just said smooching for a minute. I was like...
That might be going on, too. The Games We Play art show is the brainchild of the executives at Present Creative, who felt that artists of the gaming industry lacked a suitable outlet for their talents to be celebrated outside of their day jobs.
Oh, how nice.
Mm-hmm. Pixelated princesses and cutesy critters pay the bills, says Present Creative co-founder and CEO Ben Sutherland. But there's a wealth of imagination and talent that lies virtually unseen due to the commercial nature of the gaming industry. We're just providing an outlet for that creativity. I think this is going to be fantastic. I think this is going to be awesome. For NFA director John Haas, the Games We Play serves a dual role. It honors the art origins within video game stylings and celebrates the rebellious nature of art in its many forms. It's important to shine a light on another spectrum in the arena of art, Haas says. This is a unique departure from fine art that adds another dimension to our program. Present Creative and Nieto Fine Arts have brought together an all-star lineup of both established and budding artists who have worked on titles including Mafia Wars, Farmville, Diablo II, Hellgate London,
wow,
Quest, and Peggle Knights from some of the industry's top game companies, including Electronic Arts, Zynga, Blizzard, Wizards of the Coast, and Games Workshop.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. The 26 Bay Area computer graphic artists featured in the show were giving one directive. Give us your art, uninhibited by business constraints. From the wildly imaginative story images of illustrator Michael Dashell to the robotic sculptures of Present Creative co-founder Zachary Present. From Kelly Donato's dreamily surreal paintings to the whimsy and humor of Saran Norris's prints, these artists have delivered. This sounds awesome. The exhibit will have its gala opening on the evening of March 3rd, 2011, from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. and will run in conjunction with the Game Developers Conference, which is held annually at the Moscow Center in San Francisco. Should I give out the email address? It says to RSVP. No. If you want to find out more, yeah, I guess you could probably head over to, again, presentcreative.com/art show.
All right.
I think that's going to be awesome. I'd like to see this. I hope they put something up online where we can see it.
I think we have access to something, a live feed, but don't quote me. I've been sick the past few days, so companies have been sending emails about the GDC. I don't know. I don't remember. I remember reading them, but I don't remember what they say. Anyway, so we'll let you know about that if we get a live feed. Of course, we'll share the information with you. Well, the U.S. Federal Trade Commission is investigating free-to-play. comes to us from our friends at GameIndustry.biz. The U.S. FTC, Federal Trade Commission, is going to review in-app purchasing in so-called free-to-play games. The FTC's chairman, John Leibowitz, confirmed the planned investigation following a request from Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey. And he said, "We fully share your concern that consumers, particularly children, are unlikely to understand the ramifications of these types of purchases." And this is in a statement he sent over to the Washington Post. He says, "Let me assure you, we'll look closely at the current industry practice and with respect to the marketing and delivery of these types of applications." Markey had raised the issue following media reports that children were unwittingly racking up large bills in mobile and social games. With Capcom's iOS title Smurfs Village, which you heard us talk about earlier in the week before we got cut off, particularly making headlines after claims that an 8-year-old girl had spent $1,400 on in-game items.
Holy cow.
Markey observed that what may appear in these games to be virtual coins and prizes to children result in very real cost to parents. My question would be to the parents is, why does your 8-year-old have access to a cell phone with an active credit card where she can rack up $1,400 in bills?
Mm-hmm.
I believe a few companies now actually have a block on things like that where you can't purchase those items or they can't do anything without your permission. And if they don't, then, yeah, maybe the FTC needs to step in and
take... You mean these aren't digital babysitters?
No, I keep saying 15 years off before we get the digital babysitters, people, then you can leave them there and not worry. Of course, some kid is going to be smart enough to hack his babysitter, and you'll come home and he'll be in the strip club, and it'll still be your fault, because guess what? You don't need a digital babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
Watch your kids. That's a lot of money.
That takes work.
I'm trying to figure how... 8 years old. I don't see why an 8-year-old should have access to a cell phone that has access to these games. Parents, you gotta watch your babies. I'm sorry. And it's one thing if they picked up the phone and called China. I mean, those are things you can't really plan for. But a cell phone is something you have inherent control over. They shouldn't. What is it? Who is it that had the phone that was for the children? It was called a cricket thing.
The Firefly.
Yeah, Firefly. Yeah, that one where they can only receive calls from you, mm-hmm. and text messages from you.
It only had like 6 buttons on it, and you could pre-program like 6 phone numbers into it that they could call.
Yeah, yes, that's what you want to get your 8-year-old, not a full-fledged iPhone or iPod Touch or any of the cool things they asked for. That keeps you from having a $1,400 bill, in case you didn't know. Sorry.
That's true. Kids want things. They don't need them.
Exactly. Want and need are 2 different things. I want to eat, Mommy. I don't need to have an iPhone.
You wonder what's wrong with me.
I need to eat. I don't need the iPhone. You're not going to die without it. Okay. Ginger, back to you, darling.
All right, we'll get down off our soapboxes until Thursday.
OptiTrack.
OptiTrack demonstrates desktop motion capture with new V120 Duo and V120 Trio tracking bars at the GDC 2011. Showcases comprehensive 6 degrees of freedom motion capture systems for under $2,000.
Wow.
Yeah, only, you know. As the role of motion capture in virtual productions expands, OptiTrack continues to offer game developers and animation studios optical tracking technology that is priced to meet an independent budget, but powerful enough to drive AAA development. GDC 2011 marks the release of a new advancement in an accessible motion capture, the OptiTrack V120 Duo and the V120 Trio tracking systems. These are designed for to be desktop-friendly motion capture. The Duo and Trio offer the power of multi-camera 6 degrees of freedom DOF, object tracking, and a single plug-and-play package. Each tracking system is self-contained and factory-calibrated for out-of-the-box tracking that is simple to use, but still offers the leading accuracy and flexibility of optical tracking technology. Jim Richardson, Natural Point President and OptiTrack's lead engineer, says, as game developers are increasingly under pressure to create compelling content within shorter development cycles, motion capture technology offers animators a tool for rapid, realistic content creation. But only OptiTrack provides that production efficiency at a price that is accessible to studios of all sizes. And with our new tracking bars, we are offering users our most affordable and convenient motion capture system to date.
There's a lot of them we've been talking about this week.
Well, additional features are free license of Tracking Tools motion tracking software, compatibility with OptiTrack's Insight VCS virtual camera plugins, stream VRPN tracked NatNet or save C3D CSV motion capture data, external sync in and out via the included sync box for compatibility with shutter glasses and other hardware devices, support for OEM integration via the Tracking Tools API. All right, so this is going to be priced between, $14.99 and $19.99. That's $1,999 or, you know, $1,499. It's going to be out the second quarter of 2011. If you want to see more, you can head over to OptiTrack.com. That's their website. Yeah.
Well, a lot of you are going to be very, very angry.
Uh-oh. What's going on?
Well, there's rumors floating around that the iPad 2 will be revealed next week.
Didn't the iPad 1 just, like, just come out a couple
last year? The company All Things Digital is saying that they have confirmation from several sources that Apple will reveal. We do not have a press release, by the way. I just found this out. Sometimes when we're doing the show, I'm surfing around to see what I can find interesting things. So I had to share this. But All Things Digital is saying that they've had confirmation from multiple sources that Apple will be revealing the new iPad 2 on March the 2nd out in San Francisco. Other things they're saying is it's supposed to be a slimmer build, improved display, twin cameras and a new processor, also possible appearance from Steve Jobs, even though he said he was sick. He says he'll possibly show up. And they're also saying he was possibly at a dinner hosted by Barack Obama. Jobs, are you just messing with us? Are you really not sick? You just wanted to take some time off to work on this iPad 2. Is that what it was? Yeah, interesting. So I'm... I'm
but
sorry.
Play Flash.
Yeah, we'll see, I guess, on March the 2nd. There's no word on that. I will see if I can get somebody from Apple to respond to the rumors. Don't expect them to respond. I'm surprised Best Buy responded so quickly when we asked them about their buyback program. But we'll see what we can find, people. We'll see if we can dig up some good dirt for you. But I seriously doubt that it's going to I'm not going to say. Maybe the Adobe people are being quiet and they're both going to stand on the stage and hold hands and sing Kumbaya and say, we're working together now. Until then, I will be getting an Android Galaxy tablet. iPad's all cute and everything, and it has lots and tons of wonderful games. But I think I must
be an overgrown iPhone.
Well, the biggest thing I'm seeing here around the web is people are complaining, saying they just bought an iPad, and you can't upgrade them, and, you know, all kinds of, you know. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, people. We will keep you posted if we find out anything. I will pop over to see, but I doubt it. We're almost out of time. Jen, you got one more you want to throw in there before we get out of here?
Yeah, this one's somewhat short. Okay. A new video game museum fundraises on Kickstarter.com. The Museum of Art and Digital Entertainment, The MAID, began its first fundraising campaign today on the world-famous fundraising platform Kickstarter.com. This initial campaign is designed to fund the creation of a small starter museum location in the San Francisco Bay Area for The MAID's existing collection of works. The fundraising campaign will extend until April 18th, and is already the project is 7% funded. You want to check this out. It's at kickstarter.com/projects/ The MAID, not like the kind that cleans after you, but The MAID, THEMADE, / The Museum of Art and Digital Entertainment. The Museum of Art and Digital Entertainment. The MAID is a 501c nonprofit museum dedicated to the preservation of video games and the presentation of games as art. Planned exhibits will include rare video game prototypes, conceptual art from the creation of games, and the numerous playable examples of historic and artistic works in the media of video games.
Cool.
Yes, I think this is awesome. Alex Handy, the director of MAID, says there are already world-class video game museums in New York, Germany, and Italy. It's time we got started building such an establishment here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Despite the claims of some, the video games are undeniably art. We are dedicated to showing the reality of game development. We want to showcase the artists and designers who create games and explain the processes behind their creation in a manner the general public can understand. I think that is going to be awesome. In order to spur on Kickstarter donations, the MAID will be giving away copies of PC games donated by Calypso Media, including 3 signed copies of the newly released Dungeons. Additionally, a signed, sealed copy of Pathways into Darkness for Power Macintosh is on offer at the top of the donor. Is on offer at the top of the donor. Pathways into Darkness was one of Bungie Studios' earliest game releases. So this is awesome. Again, I'm going to try to give you this website because it's huge. Kickstarter.com/project/the-MAID/the-Museum-of-Art-and-Digital-Entertainment.
All right.
There, Beth, cut us off. So if you're still here,
they can. They can. Happy hump day. And we will see you guys bright and early tomorrow. And then again, of course, tomorrow night, we'll be discussing in detail some of the things we talk about. And hopefully we'll have some info on the iPad, too, if they will respond to us. We hope. I may have to call a few times. All right, people, behave. They're watching. They're always watching.
They need to stop watching.
Hello, Francis. Hello.